This is Ozarks at Large. This Monday, we continue our collaboration with OzarksUnbound.com and that website's creator and publisher, Christopher Spencer. We begin each work week with a sit-down conversation with a newsmaker or newsmakers in the region. This week, our guest is Phil Pumphrey, the executive director of Ozark Regional Transit. The coming months and years will be important ones for the fate of regional transit in Northwest Arkansas. Whether the number of vehicles and routes grows or shrinks may depend on a vote of residents of the region. When Phil Pumphrey came to the Furman Garner Performance Studio last week, I began the conversation by asking him about Ozark Regional Transit.
We serve four counties, Benton, Carroll, Madison, and Washington. Primarily our service is in Benton and Washington counties and in the urbanized areas, the four major cities of Rogers, Springdale, Bentonville, and Fayetteville. We have 11 fixed routes with 13 buses, and we have about six paratransit vehicles. We operate one also in Carroll County. We also serve Madison County and Washington County a couple times, different areas one day of the week. And we've been in business over 30 years. We have about a $2.5 million budget. We are governed by a board of directors, which is the representatives of the major cities and counties, eight-person board. And we started our first fixed route in 2002. Fall of 2002. I got here in 2002. And we've seen it grow from no riders on fixed routes to we're projected 210,000 trips this year, which is a 18% increase over last year. So we provide service for door, not necessarily door-to-door, but curb-to-curb service for people that are in wheelchairs or have mobility issues or disabilities. They're all open to the public. And we're funded partially by the city's general funds and Federal Transit Administration funding, and then a rental car sales tax that's distributed statewide on a formula. And, you know, we've had tremendous growth over the last 20 years. In the 2000 census, we were 172,500 in the urbanized area. The census prior to that, we were at 72,500. The new census is going to put us over 200,000, which impacts our federal funding. Both us and Razorback Transit will lose our operation funding to get shifted to capital preventive maintenance.
What does that do?
It gets shifted from our operation funding to capital and preventive maintenance. And capital is like vehicles, buying vehicles.
Okay.
And preventive maintenance is repairing the buses, but it can't be used for operations. And what that would mean is in 2012, if we don't find a way to solve that issue, we'd be left with three minivans in each county to service everybody.
Three minivans plus a few buses, or all the buses would be gone?
All the fixed routes would be gone. Because what happens is when you have fixed routes, you have to provide complementary paratransit under the American with Disabilities, or ADA Act. And so when you start cutting back, you have to maintain, as long as you have fixed route, complementary paratransit. The difference between the two types of services, one, as I mentioned, is curb-to-curb. The fixed route runs a fixed schedule, fixed routes, and it's much more effective and efficient because anybody can go out and ride it. And a lot of our routes are not direct. We know that. They're hourly headways for the most part. And what happens with that is not really convenience-based. It's more based on taking care of people who absolutely are transit-dependent. So you don't see our routes go in a linear line sometimes. They jog to go to different places where maybe a lot of people that have disabilities or wheelchair-type assisted living, we serve those. And they're dedicated riders. But I think with the growth that we've had in Northwest Arkansas, we need a much bigger transit system. And the reason we need that is, number one, is economic development and getting people to work. It's a tremendous expense for a family or a person. Each car costs you annually about $9,000, $10,000 to operate, own, and insure and maintain. Economic development is one. It also helps attract businesses that are looking to relocate or expand. We also get people to medical appointments and shopping and education. And our ridership on the NWAC is up 212% for the first 2 weeks of this year.
And these would be predominantly students, is that what you're saying?
Yes, predominantly students. We have some people that use it to commute between Bentonville and Fayetteville and Rogers to Fayetteville and vice versa. It's an hour headway on that route, too. It has two buses on it.
In past years, you've had to go kind of hat in hand to the various different municipalities in Northwest Arkansas and kind of ask for an annual amount of money that could be changed year to year. Is that right? Is that one of your funding sources?
That is one of the major sources of our local funding to match federal money.
Mm-hmm.
Most transit systems are overfunded locally. The local community puts in more. In Texas, they did community, the state law is such that communities had to pass a sales tax. That option was put on there, and it was a local effort. And all the major cities did that, Houston, San Antonio, Dallas. They've all approved a one-cent sales tax, so they improved their public transit, and then they started building rail because of the, you know, the congestion and the quality of life, environmental things that get into that benefits that public transit provides to a community.
And you're looking at, I understand, a quarter cent sales tax, potentially asking for that next year, 2011.
Yeah, a quarter of 1% is this actual what we're looking at. It's really not that much money. I think you get to $2.50 when you spend $1,000. But the reality is, over 56% of transit systems in the United States are funded by a local sales tax. And we did that research through the different sources and presented that to an advisor group that we formed last year. It's called the Advocates for Public Transit. It's people from the major employers in the area, a lot of the nonprofits that serve people with disabilities, seniors. We've got people in Chamber of Commerce and advertising promotion. We just have a really good cross-section of about 25 individuals. And what they did was we sat there, and our chairman, by the way, is a former mayor of Springdale, Jerry Van Hoos. We went through and studied the issue of where we were at, where we were coming from, what we needed to do, how we could fix the problem. And basically, we went through this process, and they approved it to recommend to the board of Ozark Regional Transit to go for a quarter of 1% sales tax and do it next year. And they also recommended we look at doing possibly going with the Regional Mobility Authority. And so that's in the future. If the Regional Mobility is ready, we hope to go with them. If they're not, we really kind of are facing we're walking the gangplank now, so to speak.
So in 2011, do you think I'm going to have an up and down vote on whether I want to further support public transportation, or is it going to be coupled with some sort of vote on additional funding for highways, through Northwest Arkansas Council or through Regional Mobility Authority?
Well, at a minimum, we'll have a vote for the public up and down on public transit, and we hope to make our case to the public. We need to raise funds for a 501c6 that we formed by the advocates to advertise the issue and get the word out to the public to let them know what we need to do and give them an opportunity to say yay or nay on this issue. We hope that the regional mobility is to go with this, but it's really outside of our control. And the Northwest Council, where they weigh in on this, I can't speak for them, but we hope to have their support because, like I mentioned earlier, you know, this is really about how we're going to address our future transit and our mobility in the community. And number one, we have a huge population in the United States, and Northwest Arkansas is no different, of people getting older. The chances of having a disability or not being able to drive for some reason or another,
sight,
getting around,
right.
And that's one of the things that seniors fear most is that loss of independence.
It seems like some of your best ambassadors are the people that use the buses and the transportation.
Absolutely. We have they come to public meetings that we hold. We talked to some the other day. We know that we don't reach all the areas of the community, that we're not fast enough. We don't serve a lot of different destinations. And that's all really a function of local funding and how much money we have to expand service. But our customers depend upon us. Some of them would not be able to go anywhere or do anything or depend on family, which may or may not be a tremendous burden on them. Everybody using a bus is actually going to spend money or go to school and learn how to make more money because our trips are for medical, shopping, and employment or going to school. And that's
people who just jump on a joyride or anything like that.
There's not too much of that.
The sights and the sounds.
You know, it's kind of like driving up and down the same street. After a while, you're kind of going, I've been here, done that, you know.
Right.
But if you talk to some of these people, it really makes a difference in their quality of life. And, you know, as I've mentioned earlier, we've grown tremendously, and we think that there's a tremendous need to expand our system.
It was, a couple of years ago when gas prices were going high, and there was the West Washington County route, correct?
Yeah, we have a route that goes to Lincoln Prairie Grove, and it doesn't have enough frequency really to attract enough people because, you know, everybody that's listening probably has more than one thing they do in a day besides go to school, go to work, or whatever they do. They've got to go different places, and it's when you have to wait for 8 hours to go home or whatever, that's a really barrier to using the service unless it's absolutely the last thing you have a way to get around.
So you kind of forecasted what it would look like if 2012 approaches, funding has to shift, and there's no additional funding. And that was, paratransit type
vehicles in each county.
Three per county.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. So, okay, compare and contrast. What would a well-funded system that's mature look like right now?
Well, you
dream
know,
out loud.
A quarter cent sales tax, a quarter of 1% sales tax projects at about 7.5 million each county. That'd be about 15 million. Along with the federal funding, we'd be about $16, $17 million. Well, you're going to have tremendous capital needs. You're going to have to buy buses. And a full-size, heavy-duty 12-year bus is going to run you a little around $400,000. So a fleet of 50 buses to start out with would cost you $20 million. Mm-hmm. Well, but that's kind of the nuts and bolts. You also need to have passenger transfer facilities, which you could do multi-use, like a parking garage on the second level, and have buses transfer passenger first level, do multi-use type of that's done all through the United States. Those two things are going to run you about $40 million. So, you know, people say, well, that's a lot of money, you know, for a budget that's 2.5. But if you look at Tulsa, they're $17 million. They've got half a million people, residents over there, and they're a mature system. Little Rock's CAT system is about $14 million. They're a mature system. So, but once you start getting some of the capital out of the way and you get into replacing the vehicles that need to building the facilities, you can expand the routes. But the reality is what you have is a lot more fixed routes, serving a lot more area, making better connections, more frequency. You could do night service. You could do weekend service. You could expand your paratransit. Not only by law, but it would really make a difference for the people who have mobility impairment. You could you'd have those. You have better passenger amenities. You could serve areas like Bella Vista, which has a high elderly population and some disabilities. You have serve Siloam Springs. You could do park and ride lots, commuter express. You could take a lot of traffic off of in Bentonville by putting in some shuttles that get people from the different Walmart campuses. And people go, well, that benefits Walmart. No, it just benefits everybody because if you get vehicles off the road, you might lessen the need to do some of these expensive road projects. You could make it easier to get around, and you do something for the air quality.
I'll be frank. I'm very sympathetic to public transportation issues. I think cool. When it comes to 2011, I plan on voting to make that happen. But I'm maybe a little less sympathetic to building a lot more highways. Do you think the vote has to be one that couples highways with public transportation?
I think traditionally a multi-pronged approach with improvements, it would attract a lot of people to vote. But the reality is, I think as a leader of the organization and responding to the board, I think we have to do something or our community is going to suffer the consequences of our inaction both now and in the future. In terms of how do you get around if you don't have a public transit system. And I've heard people say, well, they could just get a taxi cab. That's simply not true. And we did the research, and we looked at our average trip length of our customers on paratransit compared to the taxi cab rates, and a lot of our customers are on fixed incomes. They couldn't afford it. They might only make one trip a week. So taxi cabs aren't the answer. You know, buying them limos isn't the answer. Yeah, transit's expensive. I'm not going to deny that. But it's not that hard to say it's got to be something good if all these other cities do it around the country, and especially communities the size of ours now that's over 200,000 and 400,000 in the MSA, the Metropolitan Statistical Area.
And coupling the vote with maybe additional highway funding is more likely to be successful, typically?
Typically, but, okay. I think, in a case of when you've St. Louis lost funding, and they did a sales tax earlier this year, and it passed with 67% of the vote. Manassas, Washington lost money from the state, and they passed a sales tax by a margin of about 72, I think it's 70% or somewhere around there. But it was an overwhelming majority. We have had done surveys with the University of Arkansas Survey Research Center that have a margin of error, plus or minus 4%, and it's about 600 people, and they call people's cell phones for those that are interested in how that all works, because a lot of people don't own landlines anymore. And we polled that 49% of the population would vote for it on an average between the two counties. There's a little difference between the two, but when you start talking to the public about providing transportation for people with disabilities and transportation for somebody's mother or grandmother, it jumps up to close to 80%. And, getting people to work was in the 70s. So people realize kind of maybe intuitively there's some value to have in a public transit system. And we're pretty close, I think, to pushing it over the line. But we're going to need community support, and we're going to need people to turn out and vote yes or no on this thing and make that pitch to the public that this is something that this community needs.
Phil Pumphrey is the executive director of Ozark Regional Transit, based in Springdale and serving people in Washington, Benton, Madison, and Carroll counties. We'll take a break. Then Christopher Spencer of OzarksUnbound.com and I will talk more about transit issues in Northwest Arkansas. That's just ahead on Ozarks at Large. And it is Monday, so welcome back to the unlicensed opinion portion of Monday Ozarks at Large. I'm Kyle Kellums, and with me is Christopher Spencer, the owner and publisher of Ozarks Unbound, our partner in unlicensed opinion.
This is the part where we talk about it, right?
Right. It seems everybody for the past 10 or 15 years or more in Northwest Arkansas and Western Arkansas has been talking about transportation to some degree.
Yeah, I mean, it's a huge issue because you've got four cities, not just one central big city, but you've got a constellation of four different cities. And if you want to go up and down the corridor, you know, you're usually on 540. And then the issue of public transportation, I have to say, I came from Little Rock, where I spent 5 years. CAT down there is pretty strong. You can get around on CAT pretty easily. Up here, you know, between Ort and Razorback Transit is the exception. In the city core, not too bad.
If you are in downtown Fayetteville or the campus, mm-hmm.
you can ride for free.
It's well served. You get much beyond that. And I know Razorback Transit can get you to the mall and shopping centers.
That's relatively new, though, as I recall. Maybe 2 years, 3 years?
Two or three, perhaps. Yeah. Maybe a little bit. But if you get beyond that, and, you know, Northwest Arkansas more and more has to think of itself as a big region as opposed to individual cities, then it's tough to get from place to place. It's very tough if you don't have a car.
You know, I think I said during our conversation with Phil Pumphrey that I think I'd be very supportive of a quarter cent sales tax strictly for... strictly for public transportation to get us a system that feels a little bit more like a CAT system, like a Central Arkansas Transit system or something like that. But, you know, if you couple it with highways and building of highways, I become dramatically less interested in approving something like that. I wonder if that's just something that's particular to, you know, people who, because I happen to live like kind of downtown in Fayetteville, if that's something particular to that group of people or whether regionally it's felt that way.
Well, I think, you know, transportation issues, you have certain camps that fall into, and there are certainly people who believe that more highways is the wrong answer, because if you build more wider highways, you get more cars, and the idea being that eventually you're back to where you were.
Right. I mean, 2-lane to 4-lane to 8-lane,
right.
It's always going to be filled.
And so I think some people will tell you that they don't want highways rolled into this. But I think there is also an interesting dynamic in that some people do want more highways and might be more emotionally attached or more likely to vote for public transit funds if highways are attached. I think it's going to be an interesting, it will take some finesse if it's going to get passed, because there will be some people who will be, like you have said, turned off by the inclusion of highways.
It has to be the right highway project.
But I think there would be some people who would be much more likely to vote for it if it did.
Sure. I think you're right. I think there are people who are going to say, well, that's my dog in the sign, is I want better highways, better access that way. Others are going to think, as I do, you know, that I would like to be able to step outside of my house and jump on the bus and ride somewhere and then ride back and not have to wait too terribly long to do so.
All right. Until next Monday. Thanks, Christopher.
Thank you.